Well, I didn't have anything else planned for today. Let's go get drunk!
I think Suave was right. We've got this really epic intro and then Bender. So, anyways, we got no Rofax, and this is Let's Get Drunk. I don't know what number show this is. I have to go check the website.
I just make something up.
Just make something up. It's number pi. We're going to say this is number pi. And yes. Actually, I'm just going to hit the website real quick here. And this is actually Let's Get Drunk number 7. So, anyways, we've got no Madman for tonight. So there's a mild risk of the earth falling into the sun because Madman is not currently drinking. But, you know, what are you going to do? But we got Rofax and Bax. We got Rofax and Bax. So, where you been hiding, man?
I've been working a lot.
That's the story you're going with?
Yeah.
I was trying to convince Laura you were abducted by aliens.
Well, that was true, actually. But then they made me do accounting. It was kind of strange. 13 hours a day. I was doing accounting.
The Mexicans showed up in their pickup truck and made you do accounting, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was getting.
Abducted by aliens. Ha ha.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Mexicans were also aliens, as in extraterrestrials. Just
Grays with sombreros.
Grays with sombreros in a beat up Ford. Yes. Nice. And they made me do accounting. It was a strange, strange weekend. Yeah, yeah.
So in other words, you're looking forward to the whole, you know, hallucinations from too much drinking thing.
Pretty much. The delirious tremors already set in.
So, I've picked out a couple here. I've got a Sierra Nevada Flipside Seasonal Red IPA that I'm going to start with. Open this thing up. There we go. Try not to get beer all over the keyboard. Normally, it makes great sense to have the keyboard right below the microphone, just so that way I can, you know, as I'm working, just sit there right in the mic doing the shows. But when you're opening a beer can into the microphone, kind of.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily work out.
I'm going to have to set up a separate microphone just for beer opening.
Yes.
That actually wouldn't be that hard. So let's see here. It says it's a red IPA, so let's pour it in the old Red Dragon Inn beer glass here. But what are you starting with, man?
I'm actually starting with my own stout.
Ah.
Yes, I finally made a stout. It actually turned out pretty good. Well, technically it's an imperial stout, so it's very dark. I may have put in too many grains, which is something I've never heard of anyone doing ever, so yeah.
Wow, that is hopped up. That is strong. Remember our conversation about them over hopping beers?
Yeah.
I think
they did it here.
Only case of that.
Well, I made my own, so it's not overhopped.
It is a red IPA. I mean, it's red. And, you know, I guess let me get up the beer judging app here. Go ahead and do that. So, let's see here. Aroma. Well, I can smell the hops from across the room, so the balance is obviously going to be off. It's an IPA, so it's supposed to be hoppy. And I can definitely smell the hops. I cannot get much of the malt. And what I can get smells all right, but there's just not much of it there. So we'll go 2 and 5. And balance is obviously way off, so we're going to give that a 3. Color. Color is good, giving that a 4. Clarity is good. Of course, it's commercial beer. Head retention's good, so of course, the appearances feel good. So, yeah, let's get right to this. Yep, that's an IPA. But it's actually pretty good. That's not bad. It's definitely better balanced than the IPA I made. The IPA I made was way too strong, hop-wise. I mean, So that reminds me, I need to open up those. I forgot about those blackberry beers I made.
Oh yeah,
they're still in the fridge lagering. It's been like 2 months, two and a half months.
Yeah, but for some beers, that makes a big difference. You should open one up and see if it's good.
I should. You're right. I might have to go get one of those instead of this. What was the other thing I got here? I also got the Extra Rich Honey Brown Original Lager. But I may leave that one closed and go get one of those blackberry things and see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping the bottle doesn't when you open it, have stuff go everywhere.
Yeah. Maybe the microphone really shouldn't be right above the keyboard.
No, I think I'll open that one in the kitchen if I go get it.
That's so. Probably good. Is yeah, you open it and then it sprays all over your keyboard. It's like, ooh. Well, that's unfortunate.
So I'm just quickly running down the I'm not going to read out all the numbers. I'm just kind of quickly running down the flavoring on the beer here. Overall impression, 6. I'm probably not going to buy that again, but it's not bad. Well, I ended up with 75 on it, so.
Oh, that's not bad, so.
It's not terrible.
Well, it's fair, I mean.
Yeah, fair. It doesn't again. Say by, it's not by Thor's Red Beardwood, is this?
Exactly. So, and I mean, there is a poor category, so that would be like, what, a C? That's not too horrible.
You know, but too, I'm not crazy into IPAs. I like a hop flavor, but I don't like it to be a crazy hop flavor.
Right.
And this is obviously overhopped even for an IPA.
Yeah, and I think that's really a huge problem with homebrews in general. They just always go crazy on the IPAs.
Everybody's so used to beers that have no flavor whatsoever. That, you know, they've just done the complete 180, and now it's, you know, now it's all too strong.
Yeah. So. Well, now they're even hopping. I think I mentioned this last time I was on the show, but I wouldn't swear to that. I went to New Day Meadery, which is a meadery, which is actually pretty good. But they're hopping their meads. And I was like, who hops a mead? That's just stupid.
I didn't know you could.
Well, I guess you can throw hops in there, and then you have bitter mead, which is brilliant.
I thought mead was supposed to be a sweet drink.
Well, it is, and there is such a thing as a dry mead, just like there's a dry wine. But generally speaking, you have something sweet, and this one they had. Now, one, they didn't hop. They, like, aged it in an IPA barrel to give it a touch of hops flavor, but not, like, a huge hops flavor. And it wasn't so bad, but this other one I tried was a blueberry mead, and they just hopped it as strong as you'd hop an IPA. So it's a honey blueberry wine. Then they throw hops in there for some god's awful reason, and I'm like, what the hell? It doesn't even make sense. So it's like, oh, this would be good if it wasn't bitter.
See, now I wouldn't go for a beer barrel to age a mead in. I'd do like they do beers and go for the bourbon barrel. I think that would give it a much better flavor.
Oh, what it might. You know, I think, because it was like one of these craft breweries they were using the barrel from. So I think it's one of those, oh, we're going to be all local type of things. And we don't really have any bourbon makers here in this state, as far as I'm aware.
Fair enough.
That's what I'm thinking they're going for. But I agree, putting in a bourbon barrel, that wouldn't be bad.
Well, I mean, it would depend. You would want to use a, I don't know how long you'd want to, well, because I'm not sure how much of that bourbon flavor you would want in a mead. I mean, I imagine you wouldn't want too much, but
yeah,
just, you know, the hint of it would be, I could see that being awesome in a sweet drink.
Yeah, because the mead, well, the thing is, honey is such a delicate flavor. It's really hard to add anything to it because it's so delicate and you want to preserve that. And that's actually something I didn't like about this meadery. If I remember correctly, they boiled their meads, and I don't think you should ever boil your mead because it just destroys the flavor. Honey is a very light, delicate flavor. You should just, you know, get it warm enough you can stir it and stir it up real good.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, Now, I've never actually made mead, and I've been meaning to try it. Why don't you give a quick rundown of how to actually do it, because I know you do.
Oh, mead is, like, super easy. A lot of people start with beer and move to mead, but I started with mead and moved to beer because it's way easy. So basically, you get some honey, and I use like that cheap GFS honey. But if you get like
off-the-shelf honey.
Yeah, off-the-shelf honey. Get a better honey, you'll have a better mead. You do 3 pounds of honey for 1 gallon of water. So it comes to like 15 pounds of honey if you're making a 5-gallon batch. Then you throw in a couple tablespoons of acid blend, probably like 2 tablespoons per gallon of water, because mead is not acidic at all. Then you throw in like a teaspoon of yeast nutrient and a teaspoon of yeast energizer. You get all those together, you just get hot water, not boiling, stir it up real good, and throw it in the fermenter, and throw some champagne yeast in there. Actually, I use a mixture of champagne and Montrachet. But champagne is like the standard for me. And that's it. For 1 gallon of water, 3 pounds of honey, 2 tablespoons of acid blend, teaspoon of yeast yeast energizer, and a teaspoon of yeast nutrient, stir it together, throw some champagne yeast in there, and let it go for a while.
How long do you let it ferment?
Well, as long as I can. I think I let it ferment for 1 year in the carboy, and then I try to let it ferment for 2 years in the bottle. So a grand total of 3 years.
Yeah, that's a little bit downside. Different than a month for a beer.
Yeah. Now, there's this guy I was listening to a podcast, and he said you can get great mead in like 3 months. I don't know if I believe them. I'm going to try it, but it's a pain because you have to take the yeast nutrient and you give like a quarter of it the first day, then you give the second quarter of it like a week later, then the third quarter of it a week later, and then you have to start taking specific gravity readings until you get to how like 3/4 of the sugar content, then you add the last part, and you have to stir it, you have to aerate it every single day. And I was like, no. That sounds hard. I just want to put it in a carboy and forget it exists.
Yeah,
that's my system.
It sounds like all that work is to try to get the yeast going. He's trying to overclock his yeast is what he's doing.
Yeah, probably. And I mean, you know, it's not a bad idea. I don't know if it affects flavor or not. It's going to be one of my experiments. I'm going to try to make it in this like 3-month system that he gave and see if it's any good. If it's just the same, I'm not going to screw with it. But honey, I want to try, like, and I've got one going with an orange blossom honey. But, like, the thing is, it's just honey and water. So if you're using cheap honey, as I am, your meat might not be as good. I'm wondering if I use a real high-quality honey, if it'd be, like, awesome.
Go down to, like, a farmer's market and try to get you some kind of an organic, local. Yeah.
Well, my neighbor used to sell honey. Well, not my neighbor, a few people down, and they had a sign up for everything, and I can't remember exactly where it was, and they don't have the sign up this year, so apparently they're not selling it anymore. And kind of upset,
lost all their bees.
Isn't that thing
going on? Like all the bees are disappearing.
Yeah, all of them, and just dying. What is it called? Colony collapse. And they don't know why. They think it could be a parasite. A big leading theory, last time I looked into it, is it's certain pesticides, because, you know, pesticides, they kill bugs. That's their job, so it doesn't really surprise you that it'd kill bees, too. But, like, if the bees die, they fertilize the vast majority of the fruits that we eat. So we wouldn't have blueberries or strawberries or apples or basically any fruit at all. And everyone's like, oh, I don't like honey that much. And I was like, dude, it's not the honey. You would lose all fruits. We'd still have beer. I mean, that's the advantage.
Well, you
it's
know,
just hops.
That.
Hops and grain. They don't need bees. So, and we'd have vodka, but who wants vodka? Blah. We'd have whiskey, though. I mean, whiskey's good.
Whiskey's always good.
Whiskey, yeah.
So, how would you go through rating that stout you're on there?
I actually really like this stout. It's, well, it's really alcoholic, too, because I put...
That's always good. That
helps. See, an Imperial Stout's supposed to be, like, 8 or 9%, and this is like 6 or 7. So still pretty strong. Best aroma ever. This is the best smelling beer I've ever had, so I gave it perfect marks for that. The flavor was almost perfect, but not quite. I think I might have put a touch too much grains and a touch too little hops, which again, no one does that, but I think this beer actually needs more of a hop flavor. And you get too much of that like burnt grain flavor, you know, you've got the grain flavor, but I think I put in more black patent than I normally do, which is, so for homebrewers out there, really be careful with black patent because it can make your beers taste like ash if you overdo it. I think I overdid it just a touch. But overall, it got an 87, which is a high good. And on my scale, I mean, that's not too bad.
That doesn't sound bad at all. I just looked since you were mentioning it. This Sierra Nevada flip side is a 6.2%.
Nice. You know, that's what I love about craft breweries. They always make them like 6 or 7% alcohol by volume.
Versus the 2% in your standard domestic.
Yeah.
Did you hear what RU was drinking at the meetup?
No.
Budweiser.
Oh, God. Oh, I may have heard mention to that on... I think you mentioned it on Pure Deccan.
I think we were making fun of him for it, but his reasoning was actually interesting. It's apparently, like, you know, Budweiser and stuff like that is harder to get in Australia because shipping it over there, it ends up real expensive. So I don't know why you would think that's anything special, but apparently if it's hard to get.
I suppose that's a fair point. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's not like Australia at all, but when I went to Scotland, Budweiser was more expensive than like the McGowan's or whatever they were selling. And in Ireland, Budweiser was more expensive than Guinness. And I was like, wait, I could get Guinness for less than Budweiser just because they don't have to export it. You know, it's their local beer or whatever.
Well, I wonder how much tariffs add on to this stuff.
It's got to be a lot, because you know how much Guinness is. Guinness was about the same price. It was like £5 or something around there, which turns out to be way more in American money. Yeah. But then, like, these Budweisers were, like, probably closer to £6. They were, like, a pound more. So what's that, like $1.50 more or something?
Yeah.
And Budweiser is cheap.
The pound is right at 50 cents or 56 cents. I ordered something from UK earlier in the week, so
okay.
It kind of sucked on the conversion rate because at first I was thinking it was something cheap,
right?
And
right.
It would have been.
You get it?
Well, it would have been until I saw the PayPal conversion. It's like,
it's crap when you go over there like on vacation because, like, you know, you go into a store, right? And you want a Coke or, well, I always got something crazy because I'm like, I'm overseas, I'm not going to get a Coke. So anyway, you'll see Cokes in there, you know, 20-ounce bottle, and it'll be like £1.25. And I was like, oh, okay, about what I'm paying here. It's not what I'm paying here at all. Everything looks like it's the same price, but it's all in pounds. I don't know how anybody lives over there. So expensive. Like candy bars, all their candy bars were about £1. For the little regular-sized ones that you'd get for $1 here, they're £1 over there. And it's like, that's 50 cents more.
Well, you know, the pound and the dollar used to be much closer in value, so all those prices were probably set when they were fairly close, and just as they've, you know, the value's been changing, they just haven't bothered to change it.
Must be, because everything's just about the same price, but with the conversion rate.
Yeah,
our dollars, that sucks. Government kind of sucks right now, but that's another topic.
Yeah, we've already kind of beat that one over the head on several of the other shows, and I'm just going to say I think the whole mess is fucking pathetic, and go on. So
that's about it.
I just love how people are blaming one side or the other because it's like they're refusing to agree, and that's why it's shut down. So it's not one side or the other. Two people are required to have that kind of a standoff. Right. So, yeah.
Well, that's because most people still think.
The whole thing's fucking stupid, anyways. But you know, whatever.
So. Yeah, people still think there's two parties, and I won't get into that theory right now.
That's a fun theory, though. Yeah, we'll come back to that. We'll come back to that after we've gotten a few more of these beers in.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, when we get to the witty banter portion of the show.
Yes. Well, I'm not quite done with my first beer, but I'm going to pour my second drink because it's quite delicious. And it was my wife and I just had our anniversary. And speaking of getting things from overseas, okay, so there's a particular whiskey, well, a scotch, actually, that I really like. And you can't buy it in Indiana. It's a rule for some weird, dumbass reason. So, you know, my wife tried to order it online. They're like, oh, we won't ship to Indiana. So she actually went to, like, the UK website to order it. And they said they wouldn't ship it to Indiana. Then she went back, and they said that they would. So, I'm not sure if this even came in legally, honestly, but it's not her fault.
So don't admit to it on air.
That's why we use pseudonames. Yeah. B, it was the company's fault, not ours. We were trying to follow all the laws because we're good citizens who don't want to do anything wrong. But I don't know. Maybe the laws changed at the last minute. I don't know. But anyway, so she got it in, ordered all the way from the UK, and it's my favorite scotch ever now, Talisker. They make it in the Isle of Skye, and it's like a real rich, peaty scotch.
I think that's the stuff Fox had at the meetup.
Oh, was it? I love Talisker. Oh, a lot of people don't like it.
That stuff was fantastic.
It
was so peaty, but I mean, I loved it.
In a lot of the scotches anymore, like Tomatin is another scotch I appreciate, but it's closer to a whiskey because you can hardly taste the peat at all. But Talisker is known for showcasing the peat, and it just makes this awesome, complex, peaty flavor that, I don't know, it's just great. So I'm going to try some. It's got such a nice smell. Actually, when I was in Scotland, because they still use peat to, like, warm their houses over there, right? So it always smells like peat when you walk through any town. And seriously, Talisker smells exactly like a small Scottish town smells. Especially the more rural ones, you know, a little less industrial, because then it's even more peat. But this stuff seriously smells and tastes like those little Scottish town smell. It's amazing. It reminds me of Scotland every time I drink it. I love this stuff. And it's such a pretty color.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, I'm just about done with this Sierra Nevada, and I'm seriously thinking about going over to crack open one of those blackberry beers. But you'll have to fill time while I do it because it's, you know, in the kitchen.
Yes. Oh, I can certainly. Oh man, that is a good. I'm just going to ramble about Talisker as you go and get that.
All right, I'll be back in just a minute.
All right. Okay. Now that he's gone, I'm just going to sit here silently making awkward silence for everyone. No, I'm kidding. No, this Talisker is amazing. It's got this like almost thick character to it when you drink it, and the way the peat mixes with the oak is what I really like, because they age them in oak barrels, right? So it's just this rich, peaty, oaky, woody flavor, and it all comes together, and you take a drink, and then you just sit for a second, and you kind of exhale, and the flavor just takes on a whole other dimension, I guess, as a kind of goes over your tongue, and you really pick up those oak notes and those peat notes. And, yeah, and, you know, that's another weird thing. Who would think that drinking wood would be good, right? It's wood. That sounds terrible. But, turns out, Talisker's actually really good, and the big reason is because it's just got those peaty, woody overtones. So, yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of this. I wonder how long Morphs is going to be long gone. Because I don't know if I can really ramble about Talisker for all that long. Oh, yeah, I can. There's a bit of a salty taste, and the reason that is, the tour guide was telling me that it's because the factory is right next to the ocean, and it is. The factory, like, It's the factory, a road, the ocean, and just looks out over the ocean. So you sort of have the breezes and everything coming off the ocean, which is, of course, salt water, kind of mixing with the whiskey and everything. So, yeah, yeah, that's really good. I'm going to go to the IRC channel and just see if anything's going on there. Can't say anything more about Talisker. Scotland was pretty. Yeah, yeah, I could talk about Scotland. Man, it's weird to not have someone to bounce ideas off of. Scotland. Scotland was really nice. I would suggest everybody go there.
I don't know if you had to resort to, reading something there.
Oh, no, I was just rambling the whole time, incoherently most of the time. Then I was like, man, I really should have been in the IRC. So, yeah.
Oh, I wasn't. IRC up.
Yeah, I did too. Totally spaced it.
It did not go everywhere when I opened it. That's
okay,
always a good sign.
Okay, that's good.
The clarity hasn't really improved since the last time I opened one of these things up. It's still pretty cloudy. And the smell is, I mean, it's I'm not sure. It's like fruity.
But well, it's got blackberry. It's blueberry or blackberry. So that makes sense.
So it's let's see. Well, the flavor is certainly improved since the last time I opened up one of these things. But I'm still probably wouldn't serve that to any of my friends.
Okay. Well, you know, I wonder how long it will get better before you kind of reach a peak when you're like, okay, this is about as good as it's going to get.
I mean, it's not terrible. It's not like spit it out. But I'm afraid if I rated it with your app, it would come out by the red beard. What the hell is
right,
this?
Right, right, right. Right. So, what is this swill? And you're just not willing to take the risk. That's fair.
I mean, it's not overhopped. The balance is good. The sweet from the berries in it is present. I don't know. It just doesn't work. So I think it was brewed correctly. I think I just, whatever mix of grains I ended up using just didn't work, I think, is what's really going on here. And at this point, I don't remember what I used.
Right. So. Well, I know normally they use lighter grains with fruit. I mean, there's not many stouts with a fruit flavoring, so it could have been that.
Well, it's not like a stout. It's not like a stout. I mean, it's a brown. I mean, it's brown, almost trying to turn red.
Okay.
But it's not. Something's not right. I think I screwed that batch up.
I wonder if it has anything to do with the yeast, because that's something I'm really not good at. What do yeast do to beers? Because yeast is kind of supposed to be a huge deal. But I don't really play around with my yeast a lot. I'm mostly playing around with hops and grains.
Yeah.
I pretty much use that Nottingham's all the time because it's that cheap dry yeast and it's decent yeast. But I wonder if it has anything to do with the yeast.
That's what I used, was just a regular old dry yeast. But Yeah, something's not right. I'm starting to get a little bit of an aftertaste I really don't like there. So. Oh, that batch, I think, is just messed up. I think it's just wrong. So,
how big was that batch?
Huh?
How big was that batch?
Just a 1 gallon.
Okay. See, that's not so bad. You only lost a gallon.
Yeah, no.
I screwed a batch up and lost 5 gallons, and then it's like, oh, great, I have 48 bottles of beer that taste like crap.
Yeah.
What am I going to do with this? And I just can't pawn bad beer off on my friends because I'm like, I don't want anyone to know I made this.
That's when you make the appropriate sacrifice to the beer gods and put it down the toilet.
Yeah, I know. I almost did, but I was like, oh, that would be so wasteful. So I just drank it. Actually, I've got a little bit left in the basement.
I've made bad beer. I must punish myself by consuming it.
Exactly. That's the rule. It's the rule of brewing.
So.
No, yeah, I bet that beer. Because there's still like 6 bottles left in the basement or so, and I just like could not convince myself to drink them. I was like, oh god, this is nasty.
I'm probably not even going to finish that beer I've poured. It doesn't hit you at first, but it starts to build up an aftertaste, sort of like an IPA does, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not pleasant. So
no.
I'm afraid that batch is not good. So I'm just going to go ahead and go straight on to the freaking bourbon. Okay, I've got Red Stag. It's all good.
Oh, okay, now I've got to pause and say RU does make an excellent point in the RSC that after drinking the good stuff, you can probably drink the bad stuff. But, I mean, you have to be bordering on alcohol poisoning before you can drink this stuff. Just kind of...
I guess I better get the RSC up, huh?
Yeah. So now, what kind of bourbon do you have today?
It's a Jim Beam Red Stag. It's a very sweet bourbon.
Now I have to ask before you go into this, do you like regular Jim Beam?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I don't care for it. Continue.
It's not fantastic. It's not like, you know, get excited for it. But, you know, it's a bourbon I can drink straight or I can mix. Like if I wanted to mix it with something. I was experimenting with some of that sake, actually, with some Jim Beam. Because apparently there's a mixed drink that is based off mixing whiskey, sake, and cola. And
what? Whiskey, sake, and cola.
Uh-huh. Well, I didn't have any whiskey, but I had Jim Beam, so I was trying it. And I was I don't remember what the original name of the drink was, so I decided a Redneck Samurai would be appropriate for Jim Beam, sake, and cola.
Well, I think it'll still work, because Jim Beam is technically whiskey, because it's a bourbon, right?
Yeah, it's bourbon.
So a bourbon is
Is a whiskey, yeah.
So you're technically following the recipe.
But it wasn't really all that good. So, I got the sake, and I got it to drink on this show, actually. And I don't dislike it, but it's not something I'm reaching for all the time, so I've still got a ton of it left.
Okay.
So I've been experimenting with it, and actually Sard set me straight on what to do with it, and that's you mix it with orange juice. And that's fantastic.
Oh, that would be good.
It's basically a screwdriver, but you're not using vodka, you're using sake.
Right.
And
I like sake better than I like vodka, so I could see that really working well.
Yeah, no, it works quite well, and... Yeah, he set me straight on what to do with the rest of that stuff, and that's what I've been doing. The one thing to do, though, I made a mistake with it the first time. I wasn't paying attention to what orange juice I got. I just got the little jug of it out of one of the freezers at the grocery store. Turns out it wasn't real orange juice. It was the powdered crap.
Mm.
Don't mix with that stuff. Go get the real stuff, the actual, you know, pure leaf or Tropicana, you know, like a real orange juice, not the powdered crap. Because that's great. If you mix it with the powdered crap, it's just powdered crap, and it does not work.
Yeah, no, I could see that. Yeah, I don't really like that. I don't like powdered orange juice. You know what the best
does?
The best ever orange juice, though, and I wonder if you mix it with this, what it'd be like, is like literally fresh squeezed orange juice. Because, you know, the cartoon is like, fresh squeezed. It's like, no, you're not. I mean, squeeze an orange.
No, it's in a it's in a carton in the supermarket. It's not fresh.
Exactly, and you know it's not bad, but fresh squeezed orange juice, like, you know, you've got a little orange squeezer and you squeeze an orange over it, and then you drink it right there. You know, like right after you squeeze it, that is the best stuff I've ever had.
Actually, using the juicer, yeah,
yeah, like actually using the juicer, and I wonder what that would be like to, you know, mix the sake with. I bet that'd be amazing.
Oh, I bet it'd be fantastic, yeah.
But it's a pain because you get like half an ounce after you squeeze 3 oranges and then, you know, price.
That's when you get one of those electric juicers where, you know, you just have to empty the pulp out at the end of it and it gets every drop. Even though you're right, it still takes like 2 oranges with one of those things.
I know. So, what's your thought of this bourbon?
Oh, the Red Stag? I've been drinking. My father recommended it to me, actually. I really like it. I'm pretty sure what they're doing is taking Jim Beam and putting like a sweet cherry juice in it. But you end up with a sweet bourbon. So I wouldn't really mix this with anything. I don't know what would mix with it. But it's not it's cutting some of the sharpness of the bourbon, but you still get that bourbon cut, just not as it's dulled a little bit. Not as much as like mixing it with something, but I don't know. I really ended up liking this stuff. I've also tried the Jim Beam, the Devil's Cut and the Ghost.
Oh, what was the Devil's Cut like?
Oh, the Devil's Cut is nice. It's a meatier bourbon. I don't know quite how else to describe it. It's smoother. It's certainly smoother than regular Jim Beam, but it's not. It doesn't taste like there's anything cutting it. You know what I mean? And it's strong too. It sneaks up on you, but it's not. I don't know. It's still not up there with like your Woodfords, your Eagle Rares, your Four Roses. But it's in between. If that helps. So
now, just to be funny, did you summon Lord Satan as you were drinking the Devil's Cut? Because
that guy's a dick. I don't want him in my house.
Well, never mind. I didn't know you guys had a history. I should have guessed, but I didn't know you guys had a history.
Well, you know a guy, you meet somebody at a party, and it's just like, I don't want to see that asshole again.
The whole
burning hoof marks on the carpet thing. I mean, come on.
Jeez, and I bet he didn't pay for the carpet cleaning, did he? Lord Satan, I don't have to pay. I can't go hang out with Jesus. I assume they're friends. Same religion, they're friends. That's how it works.
The thing I flashed on was that scene in Family Guy where God and Jesus run out of a bar for some reason.
Yes.
And there went the conversation.
Well, now hold on. This isn't offensive. We're just belittling people's spiritual connection to greater powers or something. It's not a big deal. I mean, come okay. Let's be honest. Who has really started trouble over religion? I mean, really?
There's a section of the world you might want to look at. Just saying.
Antarctica.
Yeah,
you're talking about Greenland.
Why don't you take another swig with that stout there?
Actually, I was reading a story. Someone sent it to me, and these two guys were having an argument and like over if God exists. And he's like, God totally exists. And his dad had died of cancer or whatever, so like his buddy, and apparently they were friends, which kind of probably shouldn't have been friends with this guy. No. But... But this guy was like, where was God when your dad was dying? So, that was kind of low. And the appropriate response to really put him in his place was apparently to shoot him in the face. Yeah.
Well.
It's like, oh, well, you proved him wrong.
When you start punching below the belt, I mean.
That's right. You get shot at the face.
Well, he didn't do that again, did he?
That's right. So does he still get into heaven? Because, I mean, he was just standing up for his home God.
No, that's murder. That's murder.
Like God's never murdered anybody. I mean, he commanded his people to, like, genocide entire races. He can forgive a little old murder. Or can't he?
It depends on which version you subscribe to, whether he forgives it or you repent. Generally, it's a mixture of both.
Mm.
So,
but murder's still not okay, huh?
Not normally, no. In polite society, anyways.
Okay, I just
it is considered rude to murder the dinner guests.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how the hell did we get all the way? Devil's okay. Cut. That's what it was. They called it.
Devil's Cut is a good whiskey.
Yeah, it is a good. It's very good for what it costs. Yeah, are you? We've got the wrong hosts on for that. Whatever happened to? We need the Between the Sheets show back for that one. But
I don't know how Satan's going to be involved in that, but I think it's going to get awkward.
Ooh, yeah, that would be. Somebody busts in the door, says threesome, and everybody just looks confused. Whoa, that's I'm going to stop there because that imagery is just getting weird, like 4chan weird. But no, they call it Devil's Cut because what they're doing is they figured out some method. The bourbon that's absorbed by the barrel when you're aging it, you know, of course you lose some bourbon into the wood, right? Well, they call that the devil's cut. He's taking his cut.
And the stuff that evaporates is the angel's cut.
Right. But they figured out how to extract out of the bourbon barrel.
That's what I want to know. How do they do that? Do they throw it in a centrifuge? Do they grind it up? Do you know how they actually do that?
Nope. I've not been able to find anything on how they're doing it. So I'm not sure that they're actually doing it. I'm wondering if they've just examined the chemicals and reproduced it. But if you think about it, what that would be is that would be a concentrate with a lot of the flavor from the oak barrel and some of the bourbon. And so then they're mixing that back in their blend with the regular bourbon. And that's where they're getting the devil's cut. And you end up with a smoother bourbon.
And I bet it would really, because all bourbons, all whiskeys really have that oak flavor, which I love. And during my incoherent ramblings when you were gone, I was talking about how the concept of drinking wood is sort of, there's a joke in there, but I'm not going to make it, is really kind of weird. You wouldn't think, oh, this is oak. This is an oak-flavored drink. This is a wood-flavored drink. That's good. But it's actually really good. I love that about whiskey. So this Devil's Cut would be even more of that.
Yeah, it is. It is much more of that. But I don't know why that's weird to you. We smoke meat all the time, and different hardwoods impart that different flavoring, and that's not...
Some of us are vegans here. No, I made that up. I'm not.
I was going to say.
No. I eat my steak rare. Actually, I was a vegetarian for a year as part of an experiment I was doing. Really weird. Okay, this is a tangent, but really weird. Before then, I always ate my, you know, steak or whatever. I had it well done. If there's pink in it, I wouldn't touch it. It's just, oh, God, that's gross.
Your palate reset.
Yeah, it did. Everything has to be rare. I eat my hamburger rare now. That doesn't actually, even make sense.
That happened to Static. Although his what triggered his was a little was a medical condition. But yeah, I don't want to go into that one. But he had the same thing happen where it used to be, you know, his steak had to be charcoal. And now it better bleed. Yeah. And I had that, you know, when I was younger, I wanted it, you know, well done. But now, shit, if it's still, you know, show it a hot knife and bring it to me still mooing.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, if it doesn't bleed red.
Did you just
kind of
scare the cow with a knife that you held under a candle? Perfect. That. Bring it.
It should be ready. Yeah. Yeah. Now people look at me weird when I get my steak because seriously, I like it so rare.
Yeah.
Because it should. It should bleed, and not juices should come out, like red blood should be coming out of the steak if it's done properly.
Well, you know, that little bit of vampirism in there, so...
exactly. Which makes no sense, because I used to like it totally well done, so that's what turning into a vegetarian does to you.
Yeah, well, no, your palate reset, that's all. It happens.
Right, that's a good point. You do smoke meat.
So I mean, there's a lot of different stuff that that we eat with hardwood in it. So it's not all that weird. You just don't want to eat the hardwood directly.
Well, right.
So
yeah, that could be the new bourbon candy. You just suck on a piece of oak.
No, but I'm pretty sure they grind it up and use the cellulose in processed food. So
good chance.
Yeah, you want to have some fun? Go look up what some of the chemicals in processed food are. That's fantastic. It's like, oh, that's wood pulp. They're putting wood pulp in the chicken nuggets.
there's nothing wrong with that. Termites eat wood. Why can't we, right?
Yeah, because our digestive system is essentially the same.
I mean, termites are alive. We're alive. We can eat the same thing. I think that logic's flawless.
Actually, what was I watching? I was watching one of the survival shows on Netflix, and they were talking about how if the situation's bad enough, you can shave bark off a tree and boil it and drink the broth.
That sounds delicious.
To get nutrients. But they were saying, you only wanted this one layer in the bark. You didn't want all that. So I was trying to think of, I can't remember what show it was. It was probably Redneck and the Hippie, because that was the last one I was watching.
I don't really want to boil bark. Well, I've got one of those like plants you can eat books, right? Because I go backpacking a lot, and I like to do the natural. Because my goal, I don't think I'll ever achieve it, but one day I would like to wander into the wilderness with a knife and my clothes, because it's weird to wander in there naked, and just like seriously have a knife, wander in the wilderness, and just stay there for 3 weeks and just survive. Like, to do that would be really cool. So I always try to supplement my diet significantly with like these natural plants and stuff. And there's this one is some sort of stinging nettle, which why would you ever try to eat it? But it's like, oh yeah, this is really good to eat. All you have to do is boil it, then throw that water out, then boil it again, then throw that water out, then boil it a third time, and you can eat it. But make sure you boil it 3 times or you'll die. It's like, really?
We're going to boil all the poison out of this, and then we're going to eat it.
Yeah, they're going to boil the poison. It's like, no, I will just take something else. Certainly there's something that won't kill me if I prepare it wrong. Maybe I could have some blowfish next.
You know, please. I mean, that's one of those things when you're out in the woods and you're hungry and you're cold, you don't want to worry about having to prepare it correctly.
Right. Because when I'm in my kitchen making dinner, I undercook the stuff half the time because I'm impatient. But that doesn't involve me dying at the end, so it's okay.
Yeah, the whole wandering into the woods with just the knife thing is cool. I want the knife in the ferro rod, personally, but Just the whole rubbing two sticks together to get fire. We've got better ones. Yeah. So
yeah,
piece of flint, something, you know.
Maybe a piece of flint or something. You know, I'd be happy if I could wander in the woods
and a roll of duct tape, but that's just
a roll of duct tape. If I could wander in the woods with just my clothes on, maybe a couple things in my pocket. Because right now, you know, when you go backpack, you have a 60-pound pack on and, you know, whatever. You've got the tent and you need everything to survive. And I want to try to do it with something I can comfortably walk in. Like just, you know, maybe a fire starter of some sort in my pocket and a knife and maybe a thing. You know, I'd probably throw on a GPS. I would try not to use it, but I'd have it just for safety. You know, I don't really want to get lost out there forever. But just not have all the extra gear that you normally take backpacking.
Manual compass, just because
manual compass.
Yeah, I'd take the manual compass.
That's true. And I usually take a compass with me anyway, so maybe I'd throw in a compass too. But you know what? It's hard to get anywhere with a compass because like, oh, that way's north. And then, oh, well, that's
well,
useful.
No, you're not using it for hardcore, you know, go this route, turn here navigation. You're just using it for general direction to make sure you're still walking in a straight line.
That's true. And a nice thing about, I go to Hoosier National Forest, and if you'd walk in a straight line for, I don't know, a day, 2 days tops, I mean really tops, if you walk in a straight line, you're going to hit a road. So
yeah, you're
going to
get out. So that's the only thing you really want the compass for, is to make sure you're going in generally the same direction, otherwise you end up going in circles.
Right.
So I don't know. Sometime, I don't know when I'm going to do it, and I don't think it's going to be this year because it's going to start to get cold soon. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go up and hike Mammoth Cave because I'm close enough to there. I should do it.
Can you do that?
Well, not in the cave.
Can you, like, go in the cave? Because that'd be cool.
Well, actually, I think it's shut down right now because our government is you know, ran
douchebags.
Douchebags is a good word. But, the park itself, it's just wilderness around the cave.
Oh, nice.
The pool's closed. Cool. Parks are closed.
Yeah.
But,
well,
so
you know
I think
you
it's going to get...
You just sneak in there. What are they going to do? Padlock the cave? Actually, they probably do, don't they?
No, seriously. That's what they did for all these parks that they closed, like the open air parks.
Yeah.
They brought in and built barricades to close them.
Why would you do that? Just
to make the point that the park is closed, because otherwise nobody would fucking notice.
We don't have any money.
Think how much money they just spent on the fucking barricades. That's
yeah, I know.
It's like all these websites, right? They've shut down all these government websites, and I'm thinking it's probably cost you 10 times as much to shut the things down as it would have been just to not touch them for, however long we're shut down.
I mean, you just
don't update, as opposed to all these pop-ups and, oh, the website's closed, the website's down, the government's closed.
It's like, who paid to get this, like, holding page? It's like, the website's closed because the government shut down. Time to panic.
What did the hell ever happen to the good old-fashioned 404 server not available? I mean...
You know what? I have
good
never...
Good old 500, error 500. I mean...
Since I've had my computer... since I've moved to this house I'm in now, I have never seen 404 error not found. I kind of miss it. Because
you've
if
never
I
seen
just,
a 404?
No. Because you know what? I'm just going to type in a website. I'm going to call it...
Oh, it's because your ISP intersects it and does
Gobbly
Google search.
Ducks. I hope Gobbly Ducks is an actual website. And I hit enter. Damn it, it's not. And I get this damn CenturyLink. Me, did you mean this? No, I want my 404 error, bastards.
That's interesting. I just tried to get a 404 on Galaxy 15. You just get a blank page.
Really? Okay. Yeah, and I've always got my ISP intercepted. And I was like, no, I don't want this.
I was using Chrome for a while there. And, of course, Chrome just assumes everything's a Google search, so you almost never see the 404. But since I swapped over to Linux, I have not installed Chrome. I've been doing everything back in Firefox again, mainly because Chrome started to scare me, like, a lot. I'm back on Mozilla, and I've been seeing some of the errors again, and I've started seeing my ISP doing the intersection, intercepting searches, and that's annoying.
It really is. I don't want
you to see that I fat fingered some URL.
Right.
Give me a frickin', server not found error, and let me correct the URL.
Since you're on Linux, you can download one of my favorite server or one of my favorite internet search guys. You could download Lynx.
Oh God, I haven't used Lynx in forever.
I use it once in a while just because it's so crap, and I don't understand how you could actually do anything. But it's sort of cool that you only get text.
You know what I do with it? Honestly, well, last time I used Lynx was when I needed to confirm that a website was blocked from one host, so I SSH'd into one of my other machines and used Lynx to test the web page.
Now, because
make sure that it
question.
Was actually blocking by IP.
Because I'm not the most technical in the world. You couldn't get a virus on Lynx, could you? Because it's just showing text, right?
It would be... Okay, when you say get a virus, yeah, you could go download a virus and run it. I mean, if you downloaded the file.
Yeah, but then you'd have to run it.
Right? You mean like you go to a page and boom, you've got the pop-up saying your machine's got an infection. Please pay us $70.
Yeah. That kind of
thing. Okay. The drive-by download crap. No, because what those work on is they exploit a vulnerability in Adobe, Flash, or Shockwave. They exploit a vulnerability in Adobe's PDF reader, or they exploit a vulnerability in Java. So the way they work is they have, because the browsers themselves have actually, even IE, have gotten to the point where it's really hard to get these drive-by downloads, right?
Right. And I've never actually had one, but still.
Oh, they're so much fun to clean up. I've had to clean up after family so often.
Not bad.
But what they do is... the most common one that I've seen, it's a malformed PDF, because most web browsers are configured to automatically pop up Adobe Reader, because that's the way Adobe Reader installs itself,
right,
to show you the PDF when you click on it. So what they do is they do the one-by-one iframe on whatever page they've hacked to do the drive-by download that has a link to this messed up PDF file in it. It's malformed so that it'll pull down code and run it. And usually, if you have a fast enough machine, actually at work, I artificially slowed down a machine by I wrote a little Python script just to spin its processor up to 99% and hold it nice. There. I literally with just, you know, a for loop adding up on you know, when it got all the way up to where it was going to overflow the integer, it just set it back to zero and kept doing it. Nice. That's all it fucking was. So it was I was maxing a processor out with addition in Python. You know, for loop. Just keep it at 99% so I could see what the browser was actually doing when it hit this hacked page. And it was popping up Adobe Acrobat, you know, the PDF viewer. And that would then crash out. You would see it start to try to run, crash, and then you'd see the malware pop up. So that's how it was actually working, is somewhere on that page it was calling this PDF. And the JavaScript was so obfuscated, I couldn't make sense of it, and it wasn't going to be worth the time to make sense of it.
This is what I don't understand about PDF. It's an image viewer, right? You just look at images with it.
Well, image.
I mean, that's what it's made for. Why does it have to run code?
Because like, why Adobe ran out of reasons to make new versions, like in 1997, and so they've been inventing bullshit to put in there so they can sell you the new version every year.
Apparently, it's like it looks at it just brings up pictures. It's all it needs to do.
Yeah. So, anyways,
all right. This has nothing to do with beer.
The reason Lynx is secure is because it doesn't run all that crap. It's
right.
A plain HTML, right? It doesn't even have images, so it's not. You could still download a virus with Lynx. You'd actually have to tell it to download and save the damn thing, and then go in and run it because Lynx isn't going to do it on its own.
Right.
That's actually why these web browsers, because all these features that are in them, you know, automatically opening up the PDF, automatically playing the Flash video, you know, automatically saving the porn to your hard drive and charging your credit card number.
Right.
All these convenience features are what open up the hole to all this crap to auto run. So, you know, you're right. If you've got a web page that's dodgy, Lynx might be something worth hitting it with just to see what it does.
Yeah, yeah. So. Plus, it's cool because it's all in like black and purple or whatever. It's got a really, it's got the
black
most
and purple. What the hell are you doing on your terminal settings?
I don't know.
Green now, on black. Come on, man.
No. They've been
good old fashioned Matrix.
They've been updating links or something, and it's got different colors now. There's like green and purple.
Oh, I know what
maybe
it's,
okay, yellow.
Yeah, it's using the ANSI codes.
Yeah, it must be, I guess.
Maybe yellow.
I don't know.
We've got it up to 16 colors in this bitch. What it needs is it needs that little filter out of Image Magic to convert it to ASCII art so you can still get the pictures as ASCII art.
Yes. That'd be awesome.
That'd be great. Somebody needs to write that patch.
I download it. I wouldn't do it, but I download it.
That's our hour. I'm gonna stop this mess now.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Let me find a sound effect to close this out on. What do we got? No, we're not closing on that.
Emergency. Emergency.
And as our data clearly shows, humans cannot be trusted.
I don't know what these things are.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, that's good. We're going to stop right there.